My voice is a little gone because my hometown team, y'all haven't heard by now, but I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm a Mountaineer fan, but let me tell you something. They are way down the list from being a Pipestem Panther fan. That's my team, and I love them, and I've cried, and I've screamed, and I've been mad. I mean, I've had every emotion you can imagine, and so we're spent, and somewhere my mind is on the interstate driving, and hoping that the toll thing works. But anyway, Proverbs 23, verse 26, I want you to notice this verse with me. Now, we're in the book of Proverbs, and there's a lot being said here, but the Bible says this in verse 26, as we do this theme of the heart, it says in Proverbs 23, I got the right proverb. Here we go. Proverbs 23, verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Now, that's a pretty intense passage if you look at the next verse. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. He also lieth in wait as for a prey. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increase the transgressors among men. But I want you to notice verse 26. I want to take that verse and let's speak to that end this morning on, my son, give me thine heart. And it is a powerful statement. How many of y'all heard that verse before, that statement before? Let's say that out loud just to get in our brains. Let's say, right here we go, church. My son, give me thine heart. Now, I do think this is in particular, as some proverbs are directed toward men and young men in particular, if you read the context of this. But Proverbs is for all of us, and this truth that comes out is that wisdom here, and of course the ultimate wisdom is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is wanting our heart. I want to bring a message this morning that God wants your heart. He wants your heart. And in fact, He has no needs now. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. He does not need anything. He is not lacking. But God, according to His Word, wants our heart. He desires this. In fact, I want to read to you, we mentioned in Sunday School Spurgeon. I want to read a Spurgeon quote here. And I love this. On his introduction to his sermon on this, he writes this. These are the words of Solomon speaking in the name of wisdom, which wisdom is but another name for the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. Who is made of God unto us wisdom. If you ask what is the highest wisdom upon earth, it is to believe in Jesus Christ whom God has sent. That is the highest wisdom upon earth. To become His follower and disciple, to trust Him and imitate Him. It is God in the person of His dear Son who says to each one of us, my son, give me thine heart. And by the way, you can put daughter there. My son, my daughter, my child, give me thine heart. Can we answer? He writes this. Can we answer? Lord, I have given thee my heart. Then we are His sons. Let us cry, Abba Father, and bless the Lord for the high privilege of being His children. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Man, I loved that. The greatest wisdom is to trust Christ as our Savior. And when we think about giving our heart, I want to just share some thoughts with you, church, this morning on God wanting your heart. That's an amazing thing to think about. It is absolutely key. Your heart is, as we've studied in this series and this theme, it is all the way through Scriptures. The Bible talks about the broken heart and the contrite heart. Bible talks about the whole heart and being, the heart on fire for God. We see it again and again through Scripture. And this morning, I want us to dwell for this thought, just for the next few minutes, on my son, give thee my heart. God wants your heart. You see, if God gets your heart, if somebody gets a hold of your heart, and remember we've talked about the definition of what that means, it is really who you are in essence. It's the seat of your emotions. It's really your very being. It is the central part. That's why the physical heart and the spiritual heart, all those things are interlocked together in English, is because it's really who you are at your core. It is attached to your emotions. It's attached to your will and to your mind. But I want you to notice some things in this statement, my son, give me that heart. Number one, we see a relationship. It says, my son. Again, you could say my daughter. You could say my child. I wrote a little note here that said this as I was looking over this sermon. I've had this for a while, and I've been studying this and studying some other sermons about this and reading up on this. And one of the things that I wrote right here is, talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Talk about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it all about? And everything is, when it comes to church, when it comes to having your heart where it needs to be, is the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, my son, there is a relationship. God wants our heart. In fact, you cannot have a relationship with God if He doesn't have your hearts. If you remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said, their lips are close to me, but their heart is far from me. He knows those who are putting on a show. It's the inside. It's the real who you are that God wants. Not just the outward appearance, but God looks upon the what? Remember? The heart. And it speaks of a relationship. And I would ask this morning, and I know it's Sunday morning. I know many of you go to church here. I know most of your family, most of your history, most of you when you got saved and baptized. And I've had the privilege of baptizing several of you and all those things. But the truth of the matter is that this morning, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you really know Christ? Is He really your Lord? Have you given Him your heart? Now, I know the things going on today amongst preachers say, well, that's not really good terminology. But when I read the Bible, I think it's great terminology. That God wants your heart. He wants to give you a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. We see that in the book of Ezekiel. He wants to change our hearts from the inside. In fact, can you imagine this morning if our nation once again give its heart to Christ? Can you imagine once again if we had leaders that would say, I want to turn our hearts to the Lord? I had the privilege these last 3 days of watching some wonderful athletes and a coliseum, it seemed, full of people watching sports, and I enjoy all those things. But I sat there and I thought, man, if all these people would really give their hearts to God, what could be done for the cause of Christ? For missions. Now some of them will go on and do those very things. But can you imagine if we as a nation, if we as a people, can you imagine some of y'all live in Mercer County, some of you live in Summers County, some of you may live in other counties. Can you imagine if our counties and our leaders really give their hearts to God? Can you imagine what would take place if somebody really truly got saved, trusted Christ? And right here says, my son, you can't give your heart if you don't know Him as your Savior. It means nothing. Sometimes you hear people think they want to get religious or they want to go to church or they want to get involved. You know, like I hear this all the time, like that's helping our community. And look, I know there's some community pride. We're wanting to have a pipe stem parade because we won. And I love the community pride. But I'm going to tell you something. Pipe Stem Christian Academy in Cook's Chapel is not about community pride. I'm going to tell you what it's about. It's about people getting saved. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ and give them their life. Their whole being to God. That's what it's really about. Now, those things are an outcropping of that. Absolutely. I spend my life right there with that. But the most important thing is a relationship. The most important thing is, do they really know? Number one, relationship. Number two, we see a request in this passage. He says, give me. That's interesting, isn't it? He says, give me. God does not make us. I love this. I know that I got some people that have some different beliefs on this, that God makes us do whatever we want to do, whether we want to do it or not. And I don't believe in that. I believe the Bible teaches us that He gives us a free will, that He allows us the freedom and His sovereignty to give. He wants it. He will not make you. You know, this morning, I'm your pastor, and I had that alarm from Apple, and it, horrible alarm. Horrible. Anybody know what I'm talking about, alarms? They're horrible. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody? Just me? Because I want it to be ugly so I can get up. And I hate that thing. And I have to get up on an alarm. God didn't say, oh, my dear child, I'm going to pull me up and drag me down here. And I floated on angel's wings. That didn't happen. It was misery. I'm tired. Anybody tired? Man, you're going through it. Man, oh, man. Let me tell you something. God didn't make me. God didn't make Brother Austin go to Kenya. He doesn't do that. God doesn't work that way. He won't put you, sometimes we as human beings will put the pressure. God doesn't work that way. He says, give me. He wants us to lay it down. He wants us to give it to Him. I thought about that quite a bit. Like, God, wants our heart. He wants us to give it to Him. Because, man, when we do that, when we lay it down out of love and we truly become followers, Christ imitators. You know, that's what Christians are, is Christ imitators. I like that. I was reading about that this week. And we ought to be imitating Christ. And when you imitate Christ, let me tell you something. You can do some things without your heart. But you can't imitate God very long. You can't follow the Lord Jesus unless you give Him your heart. That's why we see so many. They'll go through the motions, or they'll maybe go to church for a little while, or maybe they'll get involved for a short time. But long term, you got to have a heart. Long term, it's got to be there. You got to have a heart for it. And I know some people don't get this. Some people don't understand this. You to really serve the Lord, for example. Maybe you're getting called to preach, or maybe God's working on your heart about doing something full time. Let me say something to you. You can't do that without the heart of God. There's a reason that, you know, like people say, man, brother, you got all excited. I was crying in that locker room this morning. Because many of them, I knew they were born. I was there with them when something disappointing happened in their life. I prayed with them. I sat there and looked at a young man that I remember several years ago, and he drove all the way up to support our guys to come to that gym. And I sat there and I remember taking him and showing him how to do a layup and praying over that family and doing everything I could to keep him in the school. I'm sorry. Yes, my heart's in it. I love him. I'm for him. I mean, I'm like, man, I was there. I was there when our sheriff's mother passed away, and I was with his family in the middle of the night. I'm there. You can't do that if your heart's not in it. And sometimes they say, man, preacher, man, you got really hurt, or man, it hurts your feelings. You got upset. Yes, because my heart's in it. You got to have your heart in it. When I heard Sister Kelly's dad, man, he touched his heart. I said, man, I got that. I get that. Man, I love that. Man, I tell you what church, they, listen, if you don't get that, you're missing out, though. Now, your heart can get broke, and it can get hurt, and people can upset you, and you can get disappointed, and things can go wrong. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You're risking it. But I'm going to tell you something. When you give God your heart, my son, give me thine heart. Let me do with your heart, with your life, what I can. Let me tell you something. It'll change everything. Too many times we want to guard that heart, because guess what happens when you give God your heart? People disappoint you. I don't know if y'all know that or not. You can disappoint yourself. Hey, sometimes God will do things you don't like. Did y'all know God does things that we don't like? He moves us and does things and causes things. In fact, if you read the Bible, you'll see again and again. In fact, when I look at things, God, why'd you do that? Why'd you allow David to go through that? Why did that take place? Why does the Apostle Paul get bit by a snake? Why are these things going on? Lord, how are we here? Why are we here? What's going on? And God says, give me. Let me be in charge. And by the way, we won't know. We will not know until we get to heaven. We won't know all the details. We won't know all the answers. We won't understand it all until we stand before the Lord someday. In fact, let me give you number three real quickly, that we don't see in the text. Look at the text again. Again, the verse says this. It says, my son, give me thine heart. Now, one thing that you don't see there that I think is implicit in this is the rejection. Many of you have friends and loved ones and family members that they were maybe raised the same way you were raised. Maybe they come into the same church. Maybe they went to the same school, maybe college, whatever. Maybe it's your own brother or sister. Maybe it's your cousin. Maybe it's your, you know, I was talking to a preacher the other day, and he was talking about his sons, and he said, yeah, that's our wayward one. He broke my heart. We stand on the side of the hill, and I got in the car, and I said, Lord, I'm praying for that boy. I know him. He said, that's our wayward one. You could just hear the hurt in his voice. He said, that's our wayward one. And I thought, man, there are some people, when we read this, my son, give me that heart. They said, no, I don't want to. I don't want to do that. So many reject. And in fact, if you go back, and there's a verse here in Proverbs, I think it's chapter 4 and verse 23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The reason moms and dads and grandparents, and I see how many, I don't know how many times I had a grandparent message me, call me, sit and meet with me and say, preacher, I want you to pray for my grandkids. They're out of church. They're away from God. They're into this. They're into that. And the reason is because they know if they'll give their heart to God, their life will be fixed. May not be everything perfect, but man, out of it are the issues of life. when that heart goes wrong, when that heart gets away from God. In fact, I found some things that happen, that take place when we reject, when we don't realize, when we don't guard our heart. The Bible says to guard it above everything else. I want to say to you as your pastor this morning, we better guard our hearts. Our young people need their hearts guarded. And not only our young people, our marriages need their hearts guarded. We're getting ready to have a marriage retreat. There's a reason that I make such an emphasis on that. It's because I want your marriage and your home to be as rock solid as it can possibly be. Because this world wants to damage it and tear it apart. It wants to break up that closeness. It wants to break up that home. It wants your children. Satan wants your babies. He wants them. The best thing for little Reed back here is for mom and dad to be crazy about each other. Amen? The greatest gift they can give to their kids is to love each other. I mean to be absolutely madly in love and say, oh, they're getting on my nerves. I love to see a kid roll their eyes if their parents are crazy about each other. That's always a good sign. They're like, oh, here comes mom and dad again. I'm like, good. That's great. Satan hates that. The world hates that. It seems like even our flesh goes against it. But the heart is the key to the marriage. The heart's the key to the church. But you know, let me give you some things that we have to constantly protect. Real quickly, I come across, it's not original for me, but I like it. There's some things that we got to guard our heart against. And number one is this, success. One writer says this, success crowds our heart with things and the signs of accomplishment. It tends to puff up our heart with counterfeit accolades, causing us to say, look what I've done. One of the worst things to happen sometimes is success. They even taught us in Bible college when you're out visiting, when you are knocking on doors, to not always go to the places that are well off or established. Go to places where it seems like they have a need, because many times those who are doing well don't need God. And they'll think, well, my heart is fine. Everything's good. I don't even hear anything that church or that preacher or that book has. Success had to guard our hearts. Secondly, it's selfishness. Selfishness shrinks our hearts to where there is room for only three, me, myself, and mine. It becomes grotesque and unable to face life because it alienates the needed life support of others. Selfishness. And to guard against that. Now, some of you, maybe don't bother you, but we know this. We live in a selfish culture. We live in a time where everything is about us. That's, you know, it used to be, I mentioned Miss Kelly's mom's funeral, the place was packed. It was encouraging to see that somebody cared about somebody besides themselves. The reason the funeral services were down is because people, all they care about is their schedule and their life. Sometimes there's times in life where you've got to say, you know what, I'm going to do something for somebody else besides myself. That's a biblical teaching. That's why I read that. Preacher, why did you read that from the pulpit? That's why. Because we look and say, wait a minute, let's help somebody. Let's go above and beyond. Hey, I don't know. Let's act like God's people. That we love and care about somebody outside ourselves. But see, that's a heart issue. Another one that some of us battle is sloth. You know what sloth is? You ever seen a sloth? We got a little boy that carries one, a stuffed one on the back, on his backpack at school every day. And I see that thing. I don't know why he's doing that. Maybe he's doing it so I remember not to be a sloth. But a sloth drives up the heart with inactivity, laziness, and lack of service. The heart is like love. It functions to maximum capacity as it pumps out service to others. Watch basketball this weekend, and as a basketball coach, one thing I've noticed, you can't win if you're lazy. Doesn't work that way. That last 10 feet of the court, you got to run the whole court. And the same thing can be said when it comes to serving the Lord or living for God. You got to have some, your heart's got to be on fire for God. You got to be moving and working and doing it. Hard to be a missionary, hard to be a preacher, hard to go to church, hard to be on fire for God with sloth. Another thing they write is this, is sin. Sin hardens the heart to the things that really matter in life. The heart becomes blackened like a chain smoker's lungs and is separated from its life source, God Himself. You see, man, you don't want sin gets in there. In fact, we think about a black heart, a cold heart, an indifferent heart. We think about, man, their heart's darkened with sin. We look at the wickedness and sin on our televisions, and we become, I've seen preachers this week defending absolute wickedness. I churches today just letting sin and wickedness go, and I thought, man, that is a heart problem. In fact, if you go to a doctor, and that doctor sees something on your physical heart, say, oh, whoa, wait a minute, you've got some problems. We have to address this physically. Part of your heart's not getting proper blood flow. Part of your heart's not, this ain't beating right. Something's, I'm not a doctor, don't claim to be, but I do know enough to know that if you go there and they look at you like, hey, you need to go for some more tests. You need to go have this done. You need to, and there's something going on. Because that's got to be, if that thing's not, if that ticker's not working, you're not going to work long. Let me say something to you. We know this, when sin gets in our life and gets in our heart as believers, hey, you better watch out. It'll start getting darker, harder, and harder. And then another thing is stress. Stress breaks the heart by placing unnecessary demands on it. The heart crumbles under the pressure. It fails to recognize the power that has been made available to prevent anxiety. Now, I'm not saying you battle anxiety. I don't know a preacher that battles it. But I know one person you're looking at that sometimes I get a little anxious. In fact, I mentioned I was videoing the game and somebody, I got so nervous I couldn't video. And a friend of mine messaged me. He said, well, you panic about everything anyway. Well, what a friend that is. And his name's Eric Porterfield. But anyway, he said, you panic all the time. And I catch myself sometimes. I get a little overwhelmed. I'd like to be tough. I'm like, oh, nothing bothers me. Oh, it does, especially when them kids are playing. Bothers me. Well, let me say something to you. That can bother Satan. Use that on you. Hey, there's been many people, oh man, hey, get out stressed. Gotta watch your heart. Gotta watch your heart. And so sometimes the only way to overcome those things, church, this morning is this. Hey, don't reject that. Lord, I need you. Lord, I gotta trust you no matter what comes. Lord, I can't be anxious. I can't be fretting. Lord, you gotta do something in my heart that only God. By the way, it's a supernatural power that God does with your heart. Let me say this too, real quickly. Not only we see this relationship request rejection, but we see this required. He says, my son, give me thine heart. You can't get out of this. This is a requirement. You can't just say, well, I'm going to do something for God and not give him your heart. In fact, you can't get saved if you say, well, Lord, I'm going to follow your teachings. But see, Christianity doesn't work that way. You don't just follow the teachings in a book. And I'm a bibliophile. I love them. But that's not just about the book. It's not just about what's on the shelf. Hey, I love the Bible, but what's the Bible deal with? 1,000 times it says, the heart. In fact, this is a book about your heart. One reason I'm doing this theme this month, of course, it's Valentine's, you know, theme, and my mind was on hearts, but also because when I started studying, I said, wait a minute, this is a big part of the Word of God. God, and you've read it, you've seen it again and again. In fact, when I read the Gospels, it's so Jesus is preaching past the page, past history, past time, and straight into our hearts. You ever read the Gospels? Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, time out. I remember reading when Jesus was there, and one of the kids the other day was talking about, they were asking about they said, what was that mountain Jesus was praying on? What was that mountain? I said, you mean the Garden of Gethsemane? They said, yeah, where he was really praying. I remember reading that, and God just going past all of my history, all of my past, all of world history, all of everything, and going right to my heart. That got to me. I was like, oh man, there's something about that that's supernatural. And it is a requirement. You can't do this thing without, you say, well, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to put my heart into it. Don't work that way. It don't work that way. You might go through school that way. You might work a job that way. You ever seen somebody don't have their heart in their job? You just say, whatever, they don't care. Yeah, I mean, that happens. You can do things that your heart's not into. Let me say something to you. When it comes to the Lord, your heart's got to be in. When it comes to serving God, your heart's got to be in. If you're just going through the motions, it won't work. It'll work for a little while. We're mimickers. We can mock things. It's a requirement. God wants us. And by the way, I may not can tell it. I may not can see it. Your friends, your family, your loved ones may not can see it. But I'm going to tell you who does know it is the Lord. He can see that heart because he knows all about it. He's the one to put it in you. He can see the believer's heart who's grown cold against God. God knows. And we can lie to people. We can tell people. We can do all kinds of things. But you can't do it to God. But then let me say this as we close this morning. We also see a rejoicing. Because let me say something to you, church. There's nothing like putting your heart in. You know, I had the privilege of being with those boys in the locker room. And that was a unique experience. The joy. The camaraderie. The behind the scenes, when nobody's looking. There's something about that heart. When you put your heart there, Little tears were shed because your heart's connected to your eyeball sometimes. Well, let me say something to you. When your heart is for the Lord, there's something about that. Miss Kelly, I mentioned this last week. I'll mention it again. A man got up at Miss Kelly's mom's funeral, and I could tell that he had connected with Miss Kelly's mom. It was so heartfelt. Was it perfect English? No. Did I know anything about the man? No, but I knew this. I said, I could see right to his heart. It's precious. In fact, it wasn't hardly dry out in the house. You got to be a cold soul for you to have a dry eye for that. Because the heart is so important. It is so profound. It's the heart. I love my in-laws. I can't talk about it without crying. Because of my heart. I see that little grandbaby kiss me on the cheek. She asks me anything. And out comes my wallet. Because of the heart. It's because of the heart, man. Listen, I'm so happy that Reed's here because I remember when the wedding was going on. You see, all you see, preacher, what are you talking about? Hey, this is heart stuff. This is real. The reason I cry when I get a phone call from somebody, I'm sitting in the middle of the gym praying for Brother Ray over the phone. My heart. Guys, you can't do this if your heart's not where it needs to be. We might not have the biggest church. We might not have the greatest preacher. I'm going to tell you one thing we have here at Five Stem is we got heart. And there's nothing like it. Let me tell you why we rejoice. We rejoice because our hearts are changed. I was not always like this. Man, I could be as cold. Hey, you could win it all, but whatever. I could be as indifferent. Let me tell you something. God changes your heart. I remember the day God got a hold of my heart very strongly when I heard my little mama praying for me. Hey, you can be tough if you want to. I'm not that tough. God can change your heart. Hey, there's a rejoicing when your heart's changed. Hey, let me say this. There's rejoicing when your heart's fixed. Hey, when you go under that knife, you've ever had any physical heart problems and that thing gets fixed, the family's not sad. Hey, the family's pretty excited. The doctor comes out and says, everything went great. And I've seen families, you could see this because of the physical heart. That's why as a preacher, when somebody gets saved or gets right or gets close to God or gets in church or gets on fire for God, we that are believers go, God, God, good. Because our hearts, we all rejoice because our hearts are changed, our hearts are fixed. Hey, our hearts have a future. Our hearts have a future. You see, here's the thing. We get to heaven. We're going to be, let me tell you something. You might not think it's a big deal now. We get to heaven. We're going to be glad. We're going to be glad. Hey, I'm glad that those people in Sweden have had a man from Pipestem to come and minister to them for all these years. I'm glad this morning that there's somebody somewhere that got their hearts on fire for God and started serving God. I'm glad this morning that we spend all the money and all the things that we do to reach kids. I have so many teenagers coming. I'm like, now where are you at? I'm on my phone. I'm driving around in the middle of the night. Hey, I'm glad that somebody somewhere has a heart for people. Man, they're going to be rejoicing in heaven over that. I don't know much about Sweden. It looks cold. That's about my extent. I watched a few Swedish TV shows and tried to read it. I was like, man, I can't speak it. It's freezing cold, but I know this. I'll be looking in heaven and seeing people that you and I've never met that come to Christ. Because a heart had a future. I could go on and on this morning. I was sitting there thinking about Paul Childers I got to see Brother Rick, and I remember coaching Paul and being Paul playing ball here at Pipestem, and now he's a missionary in Italy because somebody somewhere had their heart changed. And I know for a fact that this church went and reached his daddy on a van and brought him to church and got the heart changed. You could see the repercussions of all of those things because of a heart. Hearts have a future. Let me say this. It can be fatal, though. How many can come and hear? How many can hear the gospel, hear the teaching, hear the preaching, bypass the church and bypass every church and go through all these things and yet, say, Lord, I'm not going to give you my heart. I see it today. Sometimes you'll see people, they don't want to have a service. They don't want to talk about the Lord. They don't want to bring up God. They just want to keep God as if they dismiss God, he's somehow not going to be there. Let me say something to you. He is in charge. He is in control. He is sovereign. And he is the one that you and I will stand before. And it will matter whether we give him our heart. In fact, it is the very key to all of this. Did we give him our heart? And when he gives him, when we give him our heart, listen, your life's going to be changed. But most importantly, your eternity's going to be changed. He's the one that saves. He's the one that does. And I want to say to you this morning, God wants your heart. You're not going to get out of this. Now, there's a conflict. There's a tension. You know, when you read the Bible, you ever notice when you read the Gospels, there's a tension? When you read the Bible, there's a tension. In fact, when you read this passage right here in the context of it, I mean, the next verse has the word whore in it. It's almost as if God said, hey, I'm not playing. See, God knows, look, if you give me your heart, you won't be in the ditch with the whore. The Bible says it. Read it. And there's a tension like, oh, wait a minute, whoa, the heart's real light. God says, no, read the rest of it. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrows? Who hath contention? Who hath battle? Who hath readiness without? I mean, pretty serious stuff. God says, if you'll give me your heart, though, none of that will get a hold of you. If you give me your heart, I'll help you. If you give me your heart, I can turn it around for you. But you better give me your heart. Now, I think this is talking about just practical everyday life. Let me say something to you. For eternity, we'll be glad. Oh, man, we'll be glad. A new heaven and a new earth. It's not even our, Jesus says, not even, the Bible says, not even entered our hearts and minds what God's got prepared. Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, I don't want your heart to be troubled. You believe in me, it's going to be all right. Because you gave me your heart. I'm going to say this to you. God wants your heart. If you're here this morning, you're not a believer, God wants your heart. If you are a believer, maybe you kind of held back some of your heart, you know, like, man, it's been hurt, I've been had this. God wants your heart. And I'm not going to tell you that there's not going to be hurts and pains, there's not going to be sorrows and sadness, there's not going to be things that's not going to happen, but I'm going to tell you something. There's no joy like giving, trusting God. Say, Lord, I've given you my heart. I'm giving it all to you. Do with what you will. Let's all stand with every head bowed and eye closed. Heavenly Father, I try to bring this message as only, Lord, you put on my heart. And Lord, I pray I'm not saying anything out of the way or cruel. It's not been my intent or hurt.